We're going to think about freedom this lunchtime, and I've been wondering, what is freedom to you? What does it look like to yourself? Now, it may be that freedom is the prospect of early retirement. It may be that for some of you, it's a night away from the kids. For others of you, it might be a life without having to face the tube during rush hour. Now, the strangest thing happened to me the other day. I was down on Regent Street in the Pret, and I was having a coffee with a friend who'd come in from the sticks, and he was busy, he was heaving, and he looked at me as if to say, well, where are we going to sit? And I said, look, this is London. We invade personal space. So he followed me over to the window, and there was a little gap just under the window, and I said, sit there. There was a chair, and I went off to get another chair, and I brought the chair over. And as I sat down, this lady who was having a lunch turned to me. She said, would you like me to move up? I looked at her with surprise, and I couldn't help myself by saying, you spoke to me. And she turned and she said, yes, I know, it doesn't happen very often. She said, what's happened is that this morning I watched this YouTube video called Look Up. If you haven't seen it, you must. And basically, it's about the fact that we're all obsessed with doing this all the time while the world passes us by. And we had a conversation, and what became apparent is that this lady was enslaved by this phone. You see, true freedom for her was putting it down and getting rid of the phone. Now, we all have our own personal understanding of what the answer is to that question, what is freedom? People throughout the ages have pondered that question. Some have even been willing to die in the name of freedom. The pursuit of freedom has captured the imagination of orators. I mean, you can't forget, can you, that the speech of Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg, when he called for freedom to all the peoples of America. And then you can't forget, you know, the oratory of the civil rights campaigner, Martin Luther King, when he called that and said, let it be that all people are treated equal. Now, we would agree that we understand freedom to be a fundamental human right. This is why we're grieved, aren't we, when we hear about instances of child labour or human trafficking or the abuses in North Korea. It's why, as a country and indeed as a world, we are currently consumed by the plight of those little girls in Nigeria. Yet, true freedom is more than human rights. It's more than democracy. You know, we all here have the privilege of living in a free society. Yet the freedom that we enjoy is limited by our need to earn a living. Those of us who are employees are in the pay of our employers. Those who are employers are in slavery to the success of their business. So what then is it to be free? Someone here might say that freedom is not only about being free, but it's being in a position to exercise that freedom. I remember a few years back watching a debate on television about Thatcher's children. The debate actually was about yuppies. Do you remember them? I wonder if there are any yuppies here. I'm sure you'd want to deny it if that was the case. And the debate took a kind of, you know, a standard sort of exchange. You had those who were saying that wealth creation had generated greedy individuals. Others were taking the view that, no, Thatcher's policies had laid a foundation for economic growth within the UK. And then I remember this guy saying, money buys more than things. It buys choices. And that stayed with me over the years. And, you know, whatever your views are about money, there's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? Because money buys flexibility. I mean, you know, if by the time you got back to your office this afternoon, you walked into your office, I had wired £10 million into your bank account. You know, imagine the options that you would have. I suspect that a number of you would just pick up your things, turn around and walk straight out. But even if you didn't do that, it would give you options, for example, to leave a bad home situation, or maybe to travel, to do that traveling that you've always wanted to do, or to pursue those hobbies. But is that true freedom? Now, I want to suggest to you that true freedom is more than democracy. It's more than human rights. It's even more than the ability to make choices. And I want to try and explain this by considering what the Bible has to say about freedom. And I'd like us to notice that, first of all, freedom is an issue of identity. It's a matter of personal identity. So this verse here in the Bible is actually written by the Apostle Paul a few years after Jesus had died. And it was written to a group of people who are still trying to get to grips with this new freedom that they enjoy from faith in Jesus Christ. And we see that their calling is to be free. You see, they are released from their old way of living, from their old religious system, which actually was tantamount just to a list of do's and don'ts with a lot of religious ceremony thrown in for good measure. But Paul is saying here that things have changed. Jesus has changed things. He's released you from the old way of life, and he set you free. Now he says, live in the light of that freedom. Now, essentially, that is the Christian message. You are called to be free. Now, I'm not sure whether you describe your job as your calling. You know, it's a thing that you always were meant to do. But what will be true is that your identity is in some way tied to your job. And I speak as a former lawyer and now turned church minister. You know, when introducing myself at a dinner party or some social occasion to strangers, I confess that when I announced that I was a lawyer, I often received a frosty reception. I won't tell you the kind of reception I now receive when I introduce myself as a church minister. You see, our identity is tied closely to our chosen profession. If you're a doctor here this lunchtime, you have good reason to be proud of yourself. If you're a successful businesswoman, likewise. You see, our profession gives us a reason to hold our head up high and be proud of who we are. And here in this verse, Paul is saying to his readers, hold your head up high and feel proud of who you are. You are free men and free women. That is your identity. That is your calling as a Christian. Now, it's important to note here that he's not speaking about citizenship. You know, probably the majority of the readers of this verse and this letter were slaves. So what then is he speaking of? Now, I don't know if you've come across the poem by Edgar Allan Poe by the name of The Raven. It's a poem that seeks to convey the idea of life's irreversibility in this sinister raven that's perched on a windowsill. And throughout the poem, the raven just keeps saying one word repeatedly, nevermore, nevermore. And Poe is suggesting that death is more than just the end of life, that death symbolizes everything that we have no hope of recovering. You'll nevermore be able to do this or be able to do that. Now, I've been thinking about this, and I actually think that the irreversibility of things can be a kind of death at the heart of our daily lives. Let me explain. You know, when you think about the things that you'll never be able to do again, or the things that you'll never be able to put right, it's almost as if a little bit of you dies. I mean, are you not living with an element of regret? If only I'd done that. If only I'd run the marathon when I could. If only I'd returned that telephone call. Are you not living with guilt? You see, our past can so easily prevent us from moving on. It can stop us from living in the present because we either regret something we've lost, our youth, or regret something that we did that now plagues our conscience. It can feel sometimes like we're trapped in the past, struggling to break free. Well, Paul is saying here in this verse that you are called to be free from your troubling past. It's the human condition, if truth be known, to mess up. God knew that, and this is the wonderful message of the Bible, that Jesus has provided a way in which you can be free of your guilt. that you can be free of your regrets. It's a message full of hope. But then you might say to me, look, Johnny, it's not the past that immobilizes me, it's the future. You know, I fear tomorrow and the uncertainty of things it brings. Can I be sure that I will have a job? Can I be certain that my wife will remain faithful to me? Can I know for sure that my children will care for me in my old age? It was Mark Twain who said, I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which have never happened. You know, some of us can't settle in the now because we're too distracted by the unknown of the morrow. You know, we waste, don't we, countless hours working out the worst-case scenario. But generally, things don't work out quite as badly as we fear. And Jesus was spot on when he said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. The Christian calling is to be free. It's to be free to live in the moment. It's a calling to live life now. It's a calling to be free from the memories of the past and the anxiety about the future. It's a calling, ultimately, that enables you to live at peace with your conscience. Imagine that. Imagine that. That is the gift offered in the Christian message. But it's also a calling that enables you to live at peace with your neighbor. And let's note, secondly, that freedom is also an issue of personal integrity. Christians, in principle, can live without guilt. You see, the thing that I love about Christianity, I was speaking recently at a university with a bunch of students, and I realized this is the thing that I love about Christianity so much, is that it critiques the human condition better than any worldview or any other world religion that I've come across thus far. You see, it tells me that people are selfish and they do things wrong. And it tells me that the consequences of that is that I feel guilty. And quite frankly, that is my daily experience. I can't help myself shouting at the kids or having a misunderstanding with my wife. You know, however hard I try to stop myself doing these things, they capture up with me and I feel myself full of regret. Now, what is amazing is that they forgive me, but also that God forgives me. And it's this gift of forgiveness from God that Paul has in mind in this verse that we've got before us. He continues, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. In other words, don't abuse the freedom from guilt that God has given you. You know, you may no longer stand condemned for all that bad stuff that you've done, but that is not an excuse to go out and do some more. No, no. God here is offering you true freedom, and it's freedom from your conscience, but also the freedom to act with personal integrity in all your everyday relationships, to follow the advice given here, to use your freedom not only to indulge you, but to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I read an incredibly moving interview the other week, which was with Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And it told how when Tutu was a boy, he had to watch helplessly as his father verbally and physically abused his mother. He said, I can still see the fear in my mother's eyes and smell the stench of alcohol on my father's lips. And then went on to say how when he remembers those things, he instinctively wants to hurt his father in the way that his father hurt his mother. But he continues, if I could speak to him today, I would want to tell him that I had forgiven him. Why would I do such a thing? Because of all the things that God has forgiven me. And it was this freedom to love others liberally, to not judge others, to think well of people, to love his neighbor, that ultimately led him to found that Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa. You remember, it was a legal setting where people were allowed to come and to spill their vilest deeds during that period of apartheid and find forgiveness. And his spirit of forgiveness really helped to begin that kind of healing process in South Africa. So then, what is true freedom? I would suggest to you that it is about human rights. It's definitely about democracy, and it is also about the freedom to be able to make your own choices. But it's deeper. Freedom is so that you can be rid of the ghosts of the past, that you can not be so anxious about the nightmares of the future. It's the ability to be able to forgive. It's so that you can live in the here and now. And this is the good news that Jesus made possible by dying on the cross. God offers you freedom. You see, as a Christian, you know where you came from and you know where you're going. So consequently, you know who you are. You know that you're a sinner, but the sin is forgiven. You know that you messed up in the past, but that's forgiven. And you know you're going to mess up tomorrow, and that's forgiven also. Girl that I met in Pret, she realized that she was in slavery to her mobile phone. So she did something about it. She looked up. Let me invite you this lunchtime to look up from the shackles of your life and embrace your true calling to be free. Amen.